I want you to turn in your Bibles with me, please, to the first commandment. Turn in your Bibles, Exodus 20. Exodus 20. To the first commandment, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. First commandment. Exodus chapter 20. And it goes like this. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And no doubt, a number of you are going, what? What? Pastor, hello. Didn't they teach you in school anything? That's the fifth commandment. Well, not if you listen to Paul. Really? I see all these question marks over your heads. Come on. That's right. It's the first commandment with promise, Paul says. See? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. It says this is the first commandment. Okay, I cheated a little. With promise. Right? Isn't that what it says? This is the first commandment with promise. I like promises. Don't you like promises? I like promises, especially when you know the person's worthy, you know, trustworthy. They're actually going to keep the promise, you know. So a little over 35 years ago, that sweet little red-haired girl over there and I made some promises. Yeah, and that's where we were celebrating our anniversary. We made promises 35 years ago, and ever since, we have been keeping those promises. Do you think God is less faithful keeping his promise than people are? Definitely not, right? Definitely not. Our God keeps his promises. Absolutely. And so as we see this commandment here, he says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. What land is that? That's heaven. That's heaven, man. God wants to give us eternal life. That's pretty long days, wouldn't you say? God wants to give us eternal life in heaven with him. And as we honor our parents, it helps us to learn to honor God, right? That's where it starts, doesn't it? That's where we learn to honor God. And so the first four commandments that we've already talked about talk about how our relationship is with God, right? And as we come to this commandment, it's interesting because it's about honoring our parents. But you know, with the little ones, with the very little ones, for you pretty much, or for them pretty much, you stand in God's place as parents. And so it's teaching them how to honor God as they honor their parents. And so we see this commandment that tells us a positive thing, right? Honor. Honor your parents. Honor your father and mother. Think about the rest of the commandments. Don't do this. Don't do that. They're couched more in a negative relationship there, telling us what not to do to other people, right? Telling us how not to treat people. This one is a positive command that tells us how we are to relate to people. We relate to other people with honor. And so, where does this command begin? Where do we begin with this command? Honor your father and your mother. I want to make it crystal clear that honoring your mother and father starts with mother and father. It starts up here. It doesn't actually start with the youngster. It starts with the parents themselves, because it is the parents that have to teach their children this. Children don't just grow up going, oh, you're big, I'll follow you. You know? Maybe that works for zebras when they're born or something, but it doesn't work real well for us. Kids will just grow up not being obedient if we don't teach them. They will grow up not obedient. It's the nature of the beast, something to do with a fruit and a tree and in a garden or something, I'm not sure. But probably has something to do with that, wouldn't you think? We just grow up. And so if we're going to follow parents, it's going to start with the parents, training the child, right? That's where it needs to start. But even before that, it needs to start with the parents being what is honorable, right? Because if the parents aren't honorable, that makes it really tough, doesn't it? In fact, the parents have to so live that the children can honor them, right? That's where this starts. And so, like our children's story this morning and our shadows that follow us. Isn't God awesome how he works these things out? Honest, I didn't talk to Jorge before this, you know? God knew though, didn't he? And so it is exactly like that. We need to be honorable examples to our children for them to be able to follow us. And so we need to train those children to be obedient. Obedient. Let's see. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 2 is saying that commandment is the first one with promise. But 6 verse 1 says, children, what? Obey your parents. Children, obey your parents. How? In the Lord. That's right. In the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So, wow, now that I'm past 18, just, you know, a year or two, now. Does that mean I don't have to obey my parents anymore? When are we free from this obey your parents thing? When death separates us, right? That's when this ends. And so we are to be subject to our parents through all of life. Through all of life. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then Colossians chapter 3:20, Paul reiterates, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Well-pleasing to the Lord. The Lord is well-pleased when we obey our parents. This is how this works. Each generation learning more about the Lord and honoring their parents. You probably know that story about Abraham and Isaac, right? And Abraham woke up Isaac in the morning, took him without telling Sarah, huh? You know, that whole don't tell mom thing? Yeah, that'd be it. So, they go off to the mountain. They're going up the mountain. Abraham has put on Isaac the wood, right? Because Abraham's an old guy by now, right? Very old guy. Like over 100 old guy. And they're walking up the mountain. Isaac's done this with him a few times. And he's like, let's see. I got the wood. Dad's got fire. Dad, where's the sacrifice? Now you could just about hear Abraham's wheels turning, you know? How do I answer that? God will provide himself an offering, right? But then somewhere along the line, he's got to tell this strapping young lad, you are the sacrifice. Mark. How old are you, Mark? 20 years old. 20 years old. I'm not 20 anymore. If I took Mark up the hill and said, Mark, I'm going to sacrifice you, this would not be a big contest, let me tell you. This would not be trouble for Mark, okay? Let's just be honest, all right? Mark would have no trouble taking care of me and going back down the mountain and saying, yeah, Dad's coming in a few minutes. I got to go to the bathroom or something, you know? This would not have been hard for Isaac. We talk a lot about Abraham and the faith it took Abraham to offer his son, his only son, Isaac. How about Isaac? Isaac, I'm going to put you up on this thing and I'm going to offer you as a sacrifice. Okay, Dad. That would have been hard. That would have been really hard. I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of people who say, wow, I wish I had the faith of Abraham. Are you kidding? I wish I had the faith of Isaac. You know what I mean? Amen. To say, I trust God and you, Dad, enough to say this is okay with me. Wow. That's some serious faith, huh? That's the kind of faith I want, to be obedient like that. Phew. That's pretty serious. And then respect. Isn't there something about this honoring parents that has to do with respect? Does that respect end when parents have Alzheimer's? Does that respect end when parents can no longer take care of themselves? Is that when this respect ends? Let's put Dad in the nursing home. That's good enough. Is that how this works? Is that how this works? Respect has qualities there that I'm not altogether certain we're catching from generation to generation now. How about you? You know what I mean? Too often, we know more about the players on our favorite baseball team than we know about how our parents in the nursing home might be doing. That's a little scary to me. A little lack of respect there, I think. We need to be careful about respect. And you know where that respect begins? That respect begins in the way Dad treats Mom. That respect begins in the way Mom deals with Dad. That's where respect begins. Because if I'm young and I'm watching Mom and Dad, and one or the other of them does not treat the other with that love, respect, courtesy, and honor, why should I? What's it to me? Why should I care? If they don't care, why should I? And so it begins in the home. That's where it is. Day in and day out. Not just how nice we look on Sabbath morning or how sweet we are here, but it begins in the home when we wake up with that bedhead, you know? Right? Boy, you want to see bedhead. This is it right here. I'm telling you. When I wake up in the morning, it is, yeah. That's why she wears one of those sleep masks so she doesn't have to look in the morning. No. Just kidding. But it begins with that respect. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it? It goes beyond that to a love, to a tenderness between the parents and between the parents and the children. That requires, this fifth commandment also requires love and tenderness, lightening the burden. Lightening the burden for someone maybe who's no longer able to do certain things. And lightening that burden, guarding their reputation so that you stand for them. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32 says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man." And it doesn't mean old man like some people say it today. You know what I mean? Yeah, my old man. No, that's disrespectful. That's not where we go. What about Jesus? How did Jesus treat this commandment? Luke chapter 2, verse 51. Turn with me, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And verse 51. Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. Are you with me? Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. Then he, who is he? Jesus. Then he went down with them. Who were them? His parents, right? Yeah. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And was what? What's that word? Subject. Subject to them. Think about that for just a minute. Who are we talking about here? Little boy. All right, little boy. Yes. But who was that little boy? God in the flesh. This was not just any little boy. This was the King of the universe, the Creator God, and he was subject to erring human parents? Whoa. That's pretty serious. What does that say about us as not kings of the universe? And how we should relate, yes, perhaps, to erring parents. That says something to us, doesn't it? Now, obviously, like Peter said to the Sanhedrin, should we obey God rather than men, right? You decide. Obviously, if there's a conflict there, we obey God. If they said, you know, if your father said to you, come on, let's go rob the bank, it's like, yeah, not today. You know, right? So we're not going to do that. But short of that, short of going against God, we need to be honoring our parents, don't we? Jesus was subject to his parents. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus defended the fifth commandment against the Pharisees who were trying to skew it. You remember that whole deal about how they said, oh, if you make it Corban, if you make it a gift to the sanctuary, then you don't have to honor your parents. And Jesus said, you're setting aside a commandment of God to take the tradition of men. This is wrong, he said. God has commandments that do not change, right? Including the fifth commandment. Jesus was very clear. Then in John 19, verse 26, as Jesus hangs on the cross, he had how much sin on him? The whole world, right? How many times have you bowed down before the throne of the universe saying, God, I can't believe I just did that. I messed up so badly, and it brings you to tears, yes? As you sit there contemplating your sin before God's throne, your sin alone bringing you to tears, how about Jesus? His very life was crushed out by the sin of the world being placed upon him, yes? And yet here, as he's on this cross, weighted down with the sin of the world, crushing out his very life, he sees at the foot of the cross his mother weeping. And his heart goes out to this one who raised him, who loved him this much. And he says to her, "Woman, behold thy son." He cares for her tenderly right up to the last moment of his life. He's thinking of her and making provision for her to go with John and be taken care of. Wow. Was Jesus keeping the commandments of God? Even to his last breaths, he was taking care of his parents, honoring his mother. And so as we think about this commandment, we think about this principle of honor. We think about the idea of how to treat our parents. And too often we leave it at that, and we don't realize how the principle should be extended beyond the family a little bit, perhaps. Not in terms of obedience or those kinds of things, but in the way we treat one another. And here's where you need to get out your steel-toed shoes if you really are worried about your toes. Ready? Because this principle is a principle that needs to be lived in spite of inclination. Let me explain. Jesus said that we are to love whom? Everybody, right? Maybe you think first of love one another, yes. But he also said to love your enemies. What? Come on, Jesus. You know, I get that's a really good ideal. But you can't be serious, can you? I mean, you know, like, do you live in the real world? Yeah, he did, as a matter of fact. Yes, yes, he did. And so, if we're to love our enemies, in fact, he says that God loves those who are unthankful and evil. What? Evil? I have to love evil people? Yeah, that's evidently what Jesus said. Yeah, but he was just like, you know, hyperbole, right? No. No. His life was driven by principle. His life was driven by principle, not by impulse. Whether he felt like he needed to gain revenge, that was not his object. He lived by the principle of love. Okay, good place to say amen. Thank you. See, I go away just for a couple of weeks and y'all lose track of how this works, you know. I preach the sermon, you say amen. This is how this works. Thank you, all right. God wants us also to live by principle. Does that make sense? Doesn't that make sense? God wants us to live by principle, not by the customs and culture of this world. It's not about how this culture does things. This is about principle, about the principle of honor. And we're not talking about the kind of honor where guys went like this, I'm defending whose honor? Whose honor am I defending? My honor. This is not about my honor. This is about your honor. This is about how I treat you. That's what the commandments are about, isn't it? How we treat God and how we treat others, yes? That's what the commandments are about. And it's never about my anything. It's about honoring others. Honoring others. There was a fellow who lived with Abraham for a little while. Man, they were blessed, you know? Lots of sheep and cattle and everything. And pretty soon there wasn't hardly enough grass for all the sheep. And, you know, it took forever at the watering hole. We argued about this stuff among our herdsmen. Pretty soon it came up to Abraham and Lot. And Lot chose to go live in Sodom, right? So he's down there in Sodom and he's sitting in the gate one day and two guys show up. And Lot thinks to himself, I know what's going to happen here if those guys stay in the street. Bad things. So he says, come to my house. No, it's good. No, we don't need to. We don't need to. No, seriously, please. Would you come? Come to my house. Do you know what Patriarchs and Prophets says about that incident right there? Patriarchs and Prophets says, just a second, I will find it, honest. Ah, yes. Had he not cultivated a spirit of courtesy? It's an English word. Courtesy? Good. And I'll hit more than one. It means being kind to people. You know, anyway. It says, had he not cultivated, what's that word? Cultivated a spirit of courtesy, he might have been left to perish with the city of Sodom. What? Can you imagine being left to perish simply because you were not courteous? It sounds to me sort of like God values courtesy, huh? Amen. A respect for other people, an honoring of other people. Courtesy. Simple courtesy. There are two almost unused words in the English language. Who said it? What? There you go. Please and yes. What's the value in these words anyway? What's the point? Do they get you that whatever that you wanted any sooner? Do they make things happen better? Yes. Ah, here's the analogy. The analogy is that it's like the grease, you know, that makes the wheels turn so that we get. I hate that analogy. Let me tell you why. Because it's still about what I want. And I'm just getting you to do it. It's not about respect to you. It's about making you feel good so that you'll do something for moi. That's right. That's for you. That's right. It's all about me. And I'm just greasing you so that you'll do something for me. No, if I'm genuinely respecting you, then I'll say please regardless. I'll say thank you regardless. I'll be respectful and honor you regardless. And does that stop when you're rude to me? What about Jesus? How did he react? When he was reviled, he reviled not again, right? This is our Savior. This is our pattern. This is our example. And we are to be the shadow. That's who we are. To be respectful because of principle. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 and 2 says, but know this, that in the, when? Last days. When are we living, my people? We're living in the last days. This is now. This verse describes now. Living in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And then connected directly with that is unthankful. That's the last days. That's when we're living. That's right now. This commandment strikes directly at the heart of the self-centeredness of this culture. How are we going to deal with it? This week, maybe on Tuesday, somebody's gonna do something stupid. That's what you're gonna be tempted to think. You're going to be tempted to think, why did you do that? And if that's the way you're gonna be, then I'm going to wait. Right there. Stop right there. Because that's acting on impulse, not principle. I'm asking you to make a decision today, right here, right now, to act on principle next Tuesday. Because, you know, if you're anything like me, you got to warm up to these things, you know? You got to practice a little while. No batter steps up to the plate at the first inning without having had batting practice, right? Start today. Make that decision to live from principle today. That's what I'm asking you to do. It takes a commitment. Because you might get to Tuesday, go with principle and go, dude, I done good. Huh? Oh, God, hey. I done good. And then Wednesday, oops, right? So I'm asking not only for a decision, but a commitment to live the way God asks us to live with honor.